We're going to be looking at the sixth chapter of Romans today. And just before we get started, I want to remind our listeners that Paul is speaking to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now that's in the first chapter of Romans. So he's speaking here to all of the saints that are in Rome. So he's probably speaking to a pretty large audience here, but anyway, he says, what shall we say then? What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or as of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, you know, a lot of people want to take this passage and take it as a separate passage of scripture and apply it to the Christians across the board. And Paul makes a very good presentation about how the Christians should live, that they should walk above sin, they should not get into the lust of their flesh, they should never yield their members to sin, and that sin, they should not have sin to have dominion over them, and so on, and how they are to be seek after holiness, and so on. But it's interesting because he doesn't stop with this chapter. He goes on, and in chapter 7, he says that and he talks about himself and the fact that What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead, for I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death in me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For which I do, I allow not. For what I would that do, I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which I good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So, I'm glad that he didn't just stop with the sixth chapter of Romans, but he went on into the seventh chapter of Romans, and he said that we need to recognize that there is still a warfare here in our members between the flesh and the spirit. And that is with all of God's people. There is a warfare going on. And, you know, we, if we are honest, every one of us Christians must affirm that that warfare is still going on with us after we become regenerated, after we're born again. There's still a warfare in our members. To say that we are absent of any kind of warfare with the flesh is lying, and saying that we are without sin and that we are no longer in the flesh at any time. I've never met a Christian in my entire life that I can say never got into the flesh. Always was in the Spirit. Always was walking by the Spirit. Now that's what we should be doing. We should always be walking in the Spirit. But Paul says here that there's a warfare. And, you know, he says that, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So there's a twofold nature in man. Okay, the one nature is serving the law of God in our minds and our hearts. The longer we are in Christ, the more our minds and our hearts should become more and more after God. But he says there's a flesh, there's still a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And he says there's an enmity there. But he gives the Christian comfort. He says there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. we know that when we get into the flesh, that we are under condemnation. That's when condemnation comes, because we succumb to the flesh and sin. But when we're walking in the Spirit of Christ, we find that there's no condemnation. We have a clear conscience before God. He says, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then He says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And He says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Well, we must realize here that there is a battle going on, and we are commanded to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and we are commanded to walk in the Spirit. And but we also must realize that God is the one who gives us continual grace to mortify the deeds of our flesh and to walk in a way that's going to be pleasing to Him. And He says the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And He says that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh interceptions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, but look at the way that Paul ends this treatise about this battle between sin, the flesh and the devil, and the Spirit. He starts by saying, mortify the deeds of the flesh. He starts by saying that that we're not to continue in sin, that grace will abound. That we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith in this grace when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Okay. But we still are in these mortal bodies of flesh. We have not received our glorified bodies yet. And so He senses His own wretchedness. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Okay, and he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He didn't say I have in the past. Okay, I have in the past served the flesh the law of sin. No, he says it's in the present. He's still struggling presently with this battle between the law of God and the flesh of the law of sin. There's a continued struggle. He doesn't deny that he's still in a fight, in a battle. And by the way, that's all, if you look at John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, that whole book is about the struggle between the flesh and the devil and the spirit, and Christians' temptations, and how sometimes Christian would get off the path, and how he would veer off the path, and he would be swayed, he would be tempted by one of Satan's envoys, and then God would bring him back on the straight and narrow again. All the way through that book, The Pilgrim's Progress, that's what this is about, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And anyway, Paul ends his treatise and says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So in other words, again, he goes back to the thing, look, it's not, we don't make ourselves the sons of God by our works, by our mortifying the deeds of the flesh. We don't make ourselves the sons of God by mortifying the deeds of the flesh. We are made the sons of God, okay, by God, because he has called us according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he's saying that God's the one that did all the work imparting to us life, and giving us the strength and the grace and every other means necessary to enter this warfare between the flesh and the spirit. And he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So if God be for us, who can be against us? So, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And so, he ends with a very a great consolation here, that saying that nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we are God's children, we are going to be victorious over sin only through God's grace, through his calling, through his predestination, through his election, through his justification, and through his glorifying us. Okay, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so I'm glad that he didn't just stop with the sixth chapter of Romans and leave us hanging, because we all know that we're in this struggle every day between flesh, the flesh and the spirit. And, you know, we're in this fleshly body, and there's a war in our members, and the war has... Just because we got saved doesn't mean that the war went away. In fact, the war intensified when we got saved, because Satan does not like the fact when we're trying to walk in the Spirit, Satan is angry whenever God's children try to walk in the Spirit, and Satan realizes that the Spirit of God is power. And, you know, he says in another place, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, and he's speaking here to the Christians. He's not speaking here to, you know, remember back when you were not a Christian, we didn't have any concern about not walking in the lust of our flesh. He says, and we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. It was when we became a Christian that we entered the warfare. And this warfare is a continual warfare, you know. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God. And, you know, so anybody that tells you that, you know, well, since I've become a Christian, I no longer sin, or I no longer have a struggle in the flesh, or the warfare is not there, it's just not true. I don't know if it's self-deception or whatever. But, you know, we have to realize that we are in a major warfare in this life as a Christian. And we also have to remember that it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He says that we should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I mean, he tells us to do that. But he also reminds us that, you know, we are in a battle. And we are to realize that we are in a battle. And we are not to deny that. We're not to deny that, well, now that we're Christians, we only think on things above. And that's what we should be doing. But in reality, it's much better to realize that that we are in a battle, and Satan would, we're not, you know, another place he tells us, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know that he's going to try to get at us. He's going to do everything he can. He knows our weaknesses. He knows every form of weakness about us. And you know, he says we need to continually stay in God's word. He says here in 2 Thessalonians, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He's from the beginning chosen us to salvation, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And the truth is that God has chosen us, God has called us, and that He's translated us from the power of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. But we are still in a battle, a spiritual battle. You know, why do you think He warns us against false teachers? And against these people who would bring in damnable heresies? Why do you think there's so many warnings in the Bible? If we were always walking according to flesh and there wasn't a danger of us succumbing to temptation, you know, why do you think that in the Lord's Prayer He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Why would Christ command us as Christians to pray that God would not lead us into temptation if we were free from all temptation and we were able to walk in the Spirit at all times without any challenge. Okay, so we're to constantly exhort ourselves and to go to His Word, and He says, "Depart from evil. If you love Me, keep My commandments." Why would He command us to keep His commandments if we were walking perfectly in the Spirit at all times? But He says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you are always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Okay, so He exhorts us that God is able. God will prevail. God will. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. Okay. But we cannot have the Spirit without being in the battle against Satan and the flesh and the devil. And so we realize that this is something that is just continuing to go on in the lives of Christians. And he says that, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there's the answer. We all are going to be in this battle between the flesh and the spirit until we are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. And death will be swallowed up in victory. That's the great hope for the Christian. And then no longer will we have this battle. No longer will we be cast down. There's a song that says, cast down but not destroyed. And it says, wherefore let him take... let him that thinketh he stand, taketh heed lest he fall. And no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Okay? What was the provision that God made? What was His way of escape? Well, His way of escape is the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He took on himself our sins. And He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. He says, flee adultery, idolatry, and all of these things. But He also reminds us that, God is stronger than us. God will help us prevail in this battle that we're in. And as we come down to the ends of our lives, that battle is not going to get any easier. You know, it's people say, well, it's, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time, some people just have this idea that the battle gets easier, but it doesn't. We are in warfare. And the warfare that we're in is a fierce warfare. But neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the promise. Not because of the flesh that we, you know, Peter decided to get in the flesh and cut off the servant's ear. He took up the sword. He got right into the flesh right there. And Christ said to him that, you know, that those who live by the sword die by the sword. And the warfare is not carnal, but by the Spirit, breaking down strongholds and everything that exalteth itself against Christ. And so that's the message this morning, is that we are to realize that we are in a warfare. And reminds me of that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Put on a royal armor, ye must not suffer loss, from victory unto victory. And so, God is the one that's doing the work in us. Let us remember this. Let us commit ourselves to walk in a way that would please God, recognizing that the only strength that we have is through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray that you would continue to help us to walk in a way that would please you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And help us to daily realize that we are in a warfare between Satan, and that he is sly, he's deceitful. You've asked us to pray that we would not be led into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. We ask these things in your name. Amen.